worship time, reflecting on light and knowledge and truth. And if I were to ask you this morning, how many of you want God's light and knowledge, and glory flowing out of you? How many would you say that's your heart and your passion? You don't have to raise your hands. But I think many of us, as we reflect on a worship time like that, would say, that's what I want, that's what I long for in my life. That God's light, His knowledge, and His glory would shine through me. And it's incredible how that has led up into my message, what I want to talk about this morning. And I want to give you a background of my message this morning, because in all honesty, it's a little bit humbling for me. But this message began generating in my mind a number of weeks ago, quite a few weeks ago actually, as I was wrestling with a person I was working with at the time. And I have to be honest, my flesh side of me was rising up pretty strongly, and to the point that I didn't like this guy very well. And I was sitting in him in a session one time with him and his wife, and I was watching some dynamics unfold there, and I remember thinking, wow, this is one of the most, I'm being brutally honest here, but this is one of the most arrogant and self-righteous people I've ever seen in my life. And that began a journey for me, and I was just rolling that around in my mind, and I was beginning to think of brokenness in life and what brokenness means for us as people. What does brokenness really mean? What does it mean for me to be broken as a child of God, as a son and daughter of Him? And I began thinking about some things, and then I came across some verses in Luke chapter 18, and I want you to turn your Bibles there. One morning I picked up my Bible and I read these verses in Luke chapter 18. Verse 9, it says this: "Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." And I couldn't leave that verse that morning. In fact, I spent two mornings on that, because God began doing a work in my own heart. I started out this journey thinking about the other person, but I ended up this journey thinking about myself. And I want to read that verse again. "And he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others." And the word "trusted" there actually means to convince. This word actually means to convince by argument, true or false, whether it's true or false, the facts that we're arguing about, to rely by inward certainty. And in other words, what he's saying is this kind of trust that this man had came by an argument that he had with himself, an inward certainty that he had with himself, and he came to the conclusion after he was finished with the argument that he had with himself that he was a righteous person. The argument that he played out in his mind and he played out in his life. Now, other places in Scripture, the word "trust" is used in different ways. One is to hope in advance of other confirmation, or the first trust, or we hear something and we trust in it, and then later as other information comes out, it's confirmed that the trust that we had in our mind is true. That's some of the other Greek words. Another one is to anticipate, usually with pleasure, expectation or confidence, faith, hope, expect or confide, to hope and to trust. But this kind of trust that Jesus is talking about, this man, he trusted because the argument that he had played in his mind, and after the argument was over, he believed that he was a righteous person. After the argument that he had played through his mind over and over again, he came to the conclusion, I'm a righteous person. And so Jesus is speaking to them. Righteous is having to do with equitable character, and equitable either in character or act, or we're innocent by the way that we live our lives. And then it says, to those who were righteous, or thought themselves to be righteous, trusted in themselves to be righteous, and they despised other people, to make utterly nothing of. That is contemptible, despised, least esteemed, set at naught. In other words, we take that person and make them utterly nothing. The message actually says we look down our noses at them. I think it's the message. It's one of the other translations. In other words, we have determined that we are righteous people, and we walk around looking down our noses at other people. We totally despise other people and really believe that they are nothing. We are the ones that have it together. We are the ones that are righteous. They are nothing. By the way they live their lives, by the actions by which they live their lives, they are nothing. And to those people, Jesus says this parable. He says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. In today's world, we would, I'm not sure who we would compare that to, but something similar to this, the religious elite and the politicians, the ones that we don't really believe, we don't really trust in too much, and we sort of look down our noses, or politicians or lawyers or whatever you want to fill that phrase in there, you can fill it in. We make jokes about lawyers and people like that, and politicians. And that's sort of comparable to what Jesus is talking to. A religious elite person and someone that is totally looked down on by society, by the society of that day. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. There's two meanings for that. Could be two meanings for that. One, he had convinced himself that he was righteous. The argument that he had played over and over in his mind, he'd come to the conclusion that he was a righteous person. He actually wasn't. And so as he prayed, his words actually didn't go any farther than the sound of his voice. He prayed thus with himself. He was all alone in his prayer. His prayers weren't reaching God, and there would be indication of that later on in the passage. But he prayed thus with himself. He was all alone in that. Or it could mean that in his righteousness, he thought that he couldn't contaminate himself with people like the publican who had also come to the temple to pray. And so he removed himself from him and stood over to the side and said, this is what he said then. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. And then he becomes very articulate in the sins of the other people. I'm glad I'm not like other men. They're extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. And then he starts a list. It's a very short list, and probably the same list by which the argument that he had played over and over and in his mind to convince himself that he was a righteous person. He said, I fast twice a week and I give tithes of all that I possess. And then Jesus says, the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. An incredible picture of a broken man. He couldn't lift up his eyes. He couldn't even enter into the group of people because of the weight that he was carrying inside of him of the kind of person that he actually was. And he stood afar off and he beat his breast and said, God be merciful to me, just a broken down sinner, the lowest of the low that you can possibly get. And Jesus said, this man went home justified. Went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Incredible verses for us as we reflect on how do we allow the light, the knowledge, and the glory of God to shine out of us. And I want to talk a little more about that later on. But incredible verses on brokenness. What does brokenness mean for us today? And I could stand here and talk for a while about some of those things. I could talk about how we will never get help. And I'm reflecting back to the story I started with, but we'll never get help as long as we point fingers at other people. And I could talk about a lot of things like that. And change won't happen until we become broken people. But the truth is, my message shifted pretty drastically because this week, let me put it this way. You know, in the medical field, you can have seizures, and then when you have a major seizure, you have, they call it a grand mal seizure. And sometimes in relationship issues between husband and wife, you can have issues, and then sometimes you have grand mal issues. Well, this week, we Starla and I, it started Monday morning, but we had a grand mal issue that came up between us. And we can laugh about that, and we can laugh about it between us now. But let me tell you something. God got a hold of me, and these verses came out to me in incredible ways. Because I realized in that moment that I was a Pharisee. And I could play in my mind 1,000 times how I was right, and I was the righteous one in this situation. And I could look down my nose at my wife and say, if you would just get it together, or if you would just understand things a little differently, or if, and I can continue going on and on and on. But when I do that, I am the Pharisee, looking down my nose at someone else. And I've played over and over in my own mind that I'm the righteous one. I'm the one that is right in this situation. She's not. And so often in our lives, we become the Pharisee. We become the person that has played that argument over and over in our minds, and we're the ones that believe that we're right. No one else is. And we look down our noses, and it can be our spouses. It can be our friends. It can be our co-workers at work. It can be the people that we go to church with. It can be on and on and on. But so often, we've played that argument over and over in our minds. We've convinced ourselves that we are the right ones. And we look down. It can be our neighbors, the list can go on and on. But we look down our noses at other people. And when that happens, most times we remove ourselves from people. We stand afar off. Our prayers are not effective, and our relationships with people are not effective either. Because we've become the Pharisee. We've become the self-righteous person. The blessings of brokenness. This morning I want to talk about two blessings of brokenness coming out of these verses, and then I want to talk just a few minutes about some pictures of brokenness that we see in the Bible. And they actually play in right to what James was talking about earlier. But some blessings of brokenness. There's a freedom that we carry with us when we are broken people. And that may sound contradictory to what we think and believe, but there's a freedom that we carry with us as we come as broken people. We have nothing to promote. There's nothing in us that we need to promote, to go around, that I need to convince my wife in that moment that I'm right. And I'm the right person. I've done the right thing. I've acted right, and on and on and on. But as broken people, we don't have anything to promote because we realize that we're broken people. We don't need to walk around telling others how good we are. and let them know how well we relate to God and to other people. Second thing is the freedom that we carry is we have nothing to hide. We really don't have anything to hide. I heard a quote from Chuck Swindoll that is really incredible. I love it. He said, "I don't care. It doesn't matter what others say about me, because I know that whatever they say about me, my wife knows things that are worse than that about me." And he said, "I don't really care what my wife says about me, because whatever she has to say about me, I know deep down in my heart that there's things that are a lot worse than anything she could ever say about me." And I like that quote because it's so true. As we realize that we're broken and as we're honest with who we are as people, we don't have anything to hide, because there's nothing that anyone can say that will shock us or surprise us, because we know that deep down in our heart, all that is true and much more. And that's true. If my wife says something about me, I know that many of those things are true. I'm just trying to defend my position. I'm just trying to make myself look righteous, come out of that. Deep down in, I know that's true. And not only is that true, there are things that are much worse than that that are true, that I'm carrying down deep in my heart and in my soul. But the blessing of brokenness is that we can walk around with a freedom, because we have nothing to promote and we have nothing to hide, because we realize that we are a broken person deep down inside. Relationships are restored. It's another part of the blessings of brokenness. God, Jesus says, this man went home, went down to his house justified rather than the other. His relationship with God was restored. God moved in the moment that he became a broken man. God moved into his life, and his relationship with God was restored. And I'd love to know how his relationships with other people were restored as well. Because, and I would love to know what happened at home when these two men went back home. Because I know as I move into the lives of broken people, I'm drawn to their lives. And I want to move in the same way that God wants to move into our lives. I want to move into the lives of other people when their lives are broken and shattered and they realize they're a broken person. I want to move into that life and to develop a deeper and a stronger and a closer relationship. And relationships are restored. Psalm 51 says, "A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." With people, when we're broken, very rarely do we need to pray by ourselves like the publican did, because there's people there for us in our brokenness. Most times, there are times that doesn't happen. But most times, people are there for us in our brokenness, and we don't need to pray alone. Some pictures of brokenness throughout the Bible. And what I'm doing here is taking some physical pictures of brokenness, and I'm going to allow you to do the spiritual part of it. But brokenness exposes light. And we know the story of Gideon and Judges as they surrounded the camp of the enemy and they had their lights hidden inside. They were there, they were burning, but they couldn't be seen. And that vase or that pottery had to be broken for that light to come out. And that's true in our lives as well, spiritually. The light of God will never come out unless we are a broken people. And once we become broken, the light of God can shine in and give us light, but it also can shine out to others and give other people light as well. So brokenness exposes light. Brokenness produces life. John 12:24 says, "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die or is broken, it abides alone. But if it fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies," I'm sorry, I must have misquoted there. "But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit." In other words, it has the idea of a corn of wheat has to fall into the ground and die and be broken. And then new life comes out. New life is born. New life springs out of that. Brokenness produces life. Brokenness releases a fragrance. And for those of you that were at Penn Valley last weekend, you heard Loyal Becker talk on that story of how the lady came and broke her alabaster box, and the fragrance, it says the fragrance filled up the house. And he took that a little bit different than this morning, but brokenness releases the fragrance of our lives to those around us, and it fills up the whole house. People are aware of what's going on. They're aware of the love of God and the fragrance of our lives because of our brokenness. Brokenness leads to fullness. Matthew 15, it talks about the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus took the bread and broke it, and then they passed it out. And it led to a fullness physically for the people. But brokenness leads to a fullness to us spiritually as well, and a fullness of ministry as we minister into the lives of other people. What a beautiful picture of the result of brokenness. And I'll say this. That's just a picture, and I kept it short for a reason. One is because it was hard for me to preach this because of what I've experienced this past week. And because it's hard for me to preach on brokenness when I realize I'm such a broken person. And when God has gotten a hold of me in the way that He has. But yet, beyond that, I want us to spend some time just reflecting on our own lives. And maybe there's something that God has said to you this morning. As we looked at the story of the Pharisee and the publican, maybe we're the one that has come up with some argument that we've convinced ourselves that we're a righteous person. And we find ourselves looking down our nose at someone else this morning. Maybe we're the ones that Jesus is speaking this parable to. And Jesus comes around saying, if you're that way, brokenness is the way to expose the light, to expose all those things in our lives. That's the only way that we can find healing in our relationship with God and really live our lives to the fullness. Let's pray. Father, I don't know where we are all at here this morning. I know where I am. And I know that way too often in my life, this parable was directed straight at me and straight at my heart. And Lord, I play this out in so many areas of my life, my family, with other people. Lord, I pray that you would come in just as a body here as we're bowing our heads in prayer, and that you would shatter our pride, our arrogance, and our self-righteousness. And Lord, that we would be a broken people. And that out of our brokenness could come the light and the knowledge and the glory because of the work that you have done in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would breathe your Holy Spirit on our lives here today, in this moment.